speak to all of us to edification and to comfort and to strength. We've been studying for a number of Sundays, starting with Nehemiah, the second chapter, and I'm just going to kind of quote a little of that, but we've been speaking of the time when Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem and the walls were on the ground. There wasn't any protection there. The temple was burned. Everything was destroyed in Jerusalem. And God gave him a great inspiration. And he said to them, "Let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." So we want to continue that this morning. That was Nehemiah 2, 17 and 18 as the scriptures. First, we spoke of building, and I feel like the Lord's been inspiring us with different thoughts about the building of His work in our life and how He wants to do that. And He has thoughts of that, and He has things that He wants to see built into our lives. We studied first about considering the cost. And Jesus said, who builds a tower and doesn't sit down first and consider the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it or not? And so we went on to talk about then after someone has considered the cost, and Jesus said that cost was everything our whole life. That was all that we have. That's the cost, and yet it's free. But the cost is that we follow Him with all that we have and that we die to ourselves. The foundation, we talked about the foundation being Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation that any man can lay, but that is laid, and that's Jesus Christ. Building our life upon a real experience with the Lord. Building our life upon His Word and His teachings. I believe that is the foundation that should underpin our life and who we are and how we build. We talked about building with a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Everyone has a plan, and we just haven't went through here and tried to find every little thing we could think of. But I feel like the Lord has inspired different things for us in building our experience upon that great foundation of the Lord, a real experience with the Lord. But it says in Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So I think there has to be some understanding of what God wants there to be. There has to be some understanding of His plan and of His thoughts about our life. And we had a lesson about that. And then we spoke about the walls. And Proverbs 25 and 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. We know that a city that has no protection is very vulnerable. We are very vulnerable as well if we do not have some walls built about us, things that God has put in place, convictions that we have, the work of the Lord in our life. Those things are a great protection from the enemy in our lives. And so we studied one Sunday about walls. And so this morning, I want us to think about something beyond that. Because you can have the whole house and there not be any life within it. You can have a home and you can have children and there be no love there. There has to be something more than all the convictions, than all the things, even more than the fact that we began by repenting and being baptized and all of that. And we have to have something more than that. The house has to be filled. And I believe if we build on the foundation of the Lord, it will be filled. So this morning, I just want us to think about what begins to make our spiritual house, because that's what we're talking about. a spiritual house this morning. We're not talking about the house made with two befores, but we have a house, don't we? A house not built with hands. We have something that the Lord has formed. And so I want us to think a little about that this morning. The scripture tells us that this is James 2 and 26, and we'll kind of start our scriptures there with this. It says here, "For as the body without the spirit is dead," and I'm just going to stop right there because that's the part that I want us to get this little analogy this morning. You know, the body is complete without the spirit. All the parts are there. All the organs are there. All the nerves, I suppose, are in place when a person dies. But there's something so vital that's missing. And this morning, I just want us to think about the vision that God has for our home, this earthly temple, this dwelling of God that He wants to dwell in our hearts and our lives. I believe the Lord wants there to be something that fills that vessel that is evident that it's not just a corpse. It's evident that there's life there. Do you know when we have life in our home, it makes it the place we hang our heart. Isn't that what the old saying is? Home is where you hang the heart. There's something that's more than just the place. There's something that's more than just the family. We love those things. We love our families, don't we? We love being with the people of God. But I will tell you what animates it and what makes it rich and what makes it real. And that's when there's something on the inside. When you walk in the doors of your home and you feel loved there and loved. And it's a place of safety. It's a place of strength. It's a place of joy. It's a place where so many blessings can happen. Folks, God came to bring us this. Jesus Christ came to bring this to the world this morning. And I just want us to think a little bit about our home, this earthly temple, and our home being filled with the grace of God and with the Spirit of God. As the body without the Spirit is dead, we know that analogy, don't we? There's not much there. The body is an amazing piece of work. It is mind-staggering. The most men and women have ever found out only scratches really the surface of everything about what God has done. We understand a lot of things, but really, if we understood everything, wouldn't it be something? And so this morning, I just want us to think about this being filled with something more than the right things to do, more than the things we believe are right and wrong, more than all of those things. The Lord wants there to be something full of life and full of His animation in our life. And I want to think about that a little bit. So we'll start there. In 1 Kings 8 and 10, we'd like the Lord to just give us liberty this morning that this could be a blessing and a challenge to our hearts and homes. Folks, I believe in these things. I love the things God has given to us and how we long for the Lord to give us all a little vision of what He wants it to be like. And that's when we can start looking for it. We can start seeking for those things. I've been in a lot of homes. I've been around a lot of people that don't always have peace. They don't always have the animation of the Spirit of God in their life. Sometimes we get used to there being so many blessings of the Lord, peace with one another, and the enjoyable things of God. But I will tell you, there's a whole world that is full of strife and that is full of everything but peace this morning. And so let's look here at 1 Kings 8 and 10. And here Solomon had built he had built the temple of God and put into it many millions of dollars of gold and precious things and ivory and silver, and built it in a magnificent way. It was beautiful, but it lacked one thing. It was done. He had built this thing. And here was this magnificent structure to God. And yet, it lacked something, didn't it? It says here, and it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. You know, this morning, there's something wonderful when the glory of the Lord fills a house. When these people saw this, when God dwelt among them, when they knew that God was here, you know what that changed? It changed everything. It changed it from a place, this beautiful structure, to the place where God dwells. And instead of the glory being the structure, it was the very fact that God was dwelling there. And he filled this place. And it says the glory of the Lord. And the priest could not even stand to minister because the glory of God had filled this place. I believe that the Lord wants there to be a filling of this temple. And I want to read some scriptures that brings some of these things clear. The Lord wants to fill this temple with his glory, with his grace, with his power and his strength this morning, in a way that the glory doesn't go to the vessel anymore. It's not that someone is good at what they do, or that someone is a good speaker, or that someone is an amazing person. It is that the glory of God fills their life this morning. Oh, how we long for the glory of God to fill every vessel, because that is where it really begins. Before that, it is just a house. But I will tell you, from that point on, everything changes. Everything changed here. From that point on, they could go to the temple and they could find God there. They could go to the temple. Yes, he dwelt. They had the ark there of the covenant. The commandments were in that. But you know what made those commandments have life to them to the degree it did? It is because the presence of God sanctified that place and dwelt there. And so this morning, I believe the Lord really wants to give us a blessing that is beyond just the rules, beyond just the good things. Those things are so good. But folks, how God wants to give us something that fills this temple this morning. You drop on down there in 65 and 66 of that 1 Kings 8. And it says here, "And at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt before the Lord our God, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. On the 8th day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and went into their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people." Do you know that was a special, special time when this happened? They faced a lot of battles after this. But I will tell you what they had. They had the presence of God with them. It wasn't in them as it can be in us. The Lord came to bring us so much greater blessing. But I will tell you, they could go, and when they were in foreign places, they prayed back toward the temple, didn't they? They knew we're not just another people. This is where the presence of God dwells. And folks, that's what separates the people of God from the nominal people of the world or even those seeking after good things and Christian things, is the Spirit of God. That is the thing that brings animation and life. And I want to look at a few scriptures that just shows what it does in our life. In Acts 6 and 5, we find here where Stephen was chosen because they needed some people, some men, to do some work, to pass out goods that needed passed out, to deal with money and things like that. And the saying pleased, this is 6 and 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And so we find Stephen here, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. This man had something inside that was far more than just being a follower of Jesus Christ. He was filled with the everlasting Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And so we find, I want to look at what happened in Stephen's life then because of this. It goes on in 7 and 54. We find Stephen over here. But when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, Stephen had just got through giving them quite an oration about the things of God and their stiff-necked, hard-hearted ways, the fact that they crucified the Lord of glory. And we find here in 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Do you know how strange this is? They were stoning, they were throwing rocks at him to kill him, and they did. And while they were doing that, his very last prayer that we have was that he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, the very cry of his soul, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Tell me, who does that? You say, well, I think I would do that if they were stoning me. How about if they just say something ugly to you? You know, sometimes we don't understand how blessed the things are that God wants to give us. And I know we're human and the Lord has to help us to grow. But I will tell you this morning, I believe that there is a grace of God through the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God that He wants to give us that animates the gospel to the world. How strange for a man that's being killed to say, Lord, don't lay this to their charge. Bless these people anyway. Help them to be saved. I mean, we don't have that he said that, but that was the thought here. That was the idea here. Lord, bless these people. He was doing exactly what Jesus did and what he told his followers to do. And we find him here. We find Jesus, when he was crucified, didn't he say something very similar? Did he not? We find that when the fullness, when our heart is full, not of just what's right and wrong, not of just what does the Bible say, but full of the Holy Ghost, full of the author of the Bible, Then is when the scripture begins to be real, where he said that he will guide you into all truth. The Lord wants to do that for us, doesn't it? He wants to begin to be our guide. It says he calls him the Comforter. Well, who can comfort like God himself? But Jesus referred to him as the Comforter. You know, this morning, those things, God wants to put into our life those blessings that the world cannot take away. They cannot stone us and make us turn into bitter people. They cannot steal all of our goods. They cannot ruin our reputation and make us turn back and become bitter and evil. This is something very strange in the world today, isn't it? For a man to do this kind of thing. That's what the power of the Holy Ghost does. And so this morning, as we look into the Word, and we see these that God used and how it worked in people's lives, what a blessing it is. And this morning, I don't preach this in any condemnation. I say, folks, let's reach for all that God has for us in our life. You want to be blessed in your life, get the blesser inside. And that's what will happen. We look at Galatians 5 and 22. And we find what it says, that the very evidence, the very fruit of the Spirit of God is. It says here, but the fruit of the Spirit. This is what happens when the Spirit is in a life. Now, I know we fight our battles. We have our struggles. We do. But I will tell you, God is an overcoming power in our lives. And He doesn't want to leave us where we forever struggle with the same thing. It says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy. It is peace. Do you know what it's like to have love in your life? I hope most of us do. Do you know what it's like to have love in your life? Do you know what it's like to have a life that doesn't have any bitterness in it at all? There isn't anybody that we can't stand to the point we can't speak to them? Do you know the Lord wants to fill our vessel, our heart, with love? He wants to fill us with that beautiful thing that makes homes able to operate in godliness and with that tender favor that God loves to put in homes this morning. Do you know why it doesn't happen many times? Because of selfishness. Because we can't forgive one another. Because our pride stands up and we say, no, I'm not going to forgive that. But I will tell you what the animation of the Spirit of God does. It comes in and it makes us love them. Anyway, it makes us forgive them anyway. And that's what the animation of the Spirit of God does in our life. And it begins to fill our home. What better thing can you fill a home? What better thing can you fill a heart with than love? I can't think of anything better. There isn't anything like loving everybody. There isn't anything like having forgiveness to everybody, to all your opposers, all of them. There isn't anything like having a heart like that, that's not condemned. That's why we read about there's now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Because there's an animating power of the Spirit of God that comes into our life. And so we go on and we read it's not just love, but He wants to bring joy into our life. Now, I know sometimes life is heavy. It's full of hardships. There's a lot to get through sometimes. Things we don't always understand. Things that fill our minds. But I will tell you, the Lord doesn't want us to dwell there. Does He not have the fruits of the Spirit to put in all of our lives and fill our homes with those things? He does, doesn't He? He does. Let's take it. Let's get it by faith and know God has these good things for me in my life and for my home. And I will not stop my quest until I see it happen. Now, sometimes we may have to do some fasting and prayer. Sometimes we may have to die to ourselves. We may have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been praying about this, my enemy, but it's me. And I need prayer. I need you to help me. I need you to take this feeling that I have out of my heart and replace it with love. Sometimes that takes a little prayer, a little fasting, a little special work there. And the Spirit of God does that, doesn't He? Love and joy and peace. Peace. Oh, I believe there are many people in the world that would give all they had if they knew they could have peace. And yet they can have it. We can have, you can have it. I can have it. We can have peace with God. And you know what? If we have peace with God, if our home, if our earthly temple is filled with peace, you know what it's going to do for our relationships with other people? It's going to change things. It's going to change the atmosphere of our workplace. It's going to change the atmosphere of our home. We had somebody working for us one time, one of the ministers, in fact, and he would go by once in a while and visit the home office of a company we worked for. I never even met the people, but he had met them, and the lady told me, she said, there is just an aura of peace about him. And she was so stunned because she lived in a whole different world, a dog-eat-dog world. Well, so did this brother live in that kind of world. But she said he has a peace about him. She loved it when he came by. This was an older lady. Something astounding in the world today. Long-suffering. You know what it means when people are long-suffering? That means they suffer, they bear with someone else a long time. This is what the Lord wants to fill our life with. Now we have to grow in these graces. As we go in our experience, we grow. But I will tell you, God wants to fill our life with these things. He wants us to see them, to put our foot on them, to claim them in the name of the Lord. The Lord promised me these things, and I can have them. I can be a person like that. I don't have to be harsh, bitter, and ugly this morning. Gentleness. You ever met somebody really gentle? It's just like you want to be around them. There's something so precious about them. It is a good thing. It is a beautiful thing. I will tell you, that's what being full of the Holy Ghost does in our life. It's the fruit of it. We need to come to the Lord and tell Him our needs. Tell Him who we are. Lord, I want to be this kind of person. Lord, I want you to fill my vessel. You know, I've been trying to do all the right things and wrong things, but I need you. I need your Holy Spirit in my life. I need your work in my life. Goodness and faith. I'm going to move on because I don't want to take up all of our time here. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Why do you suppose that he adds that right in here on the end of that? Because it only happens that way. As we die to ourself, God is able to give us the grace of God that we need in life. I want to think about John 10 and 10 just for a minute. John, the 10th chapter, 10th verse. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Do you know that? Speaking of the devil, he comes to people's lives to take things from us. And he'll take what you and I have too, if we'll let him have it. But it goes on to say, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's quite a scripture, because Jesus made plain there, I have come that they might have life on the inside. The world's kind of stolen the word energy. But the truth is, God wants to give us life, energy, development, the fruits of His Spirit, the life of God, a wall against the world, more than just what we know, but what God is able to do in us through even the things that we know this morning. In Romans 12 and 1, we find a scripture that I believe is a very key scripture to you and I. And I will tell you one reason I believe that. When you look back at the dedication of the temple, you find that there was a key place and time where that temple was dedicated. It was made after they had built it all for the Lord. Then they dedicated it to God. And it was at that point that that Holy Spirit came down and filled that place. That was a beautiful time. Do you know this morning, this scripture here says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're not trying to dedicate a temple or whatever to God anymore. We're dedicating the living temple. That is our body, is it not? That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This morning, just want to challenge us today. Oh, if you have not come to God and given yourself wholly to Him, to His designs, to His work, to His work, to His thoughts, to the way He wants us to live, to how He wants us to act and dress and all of those things. Do you know that we don't go around making you do things? But I will tell you one that'll help you do the right thing, and that's when you got the Lord living within. And that's what we must have this morning. And so we see, as we present our bodies a living sacrifice, something happens this morning, just like it happened in the Old Testament. When our heart fully surrenders itself to God and all of His will, He loves to come in to that vessel. And the power then that God has is then able to be unleashed in a life. Jesus told us that just before He ascended in Acts 1, it says that you would receive power when the Holy Ghost was come upon you. And so this morning, I want to talk just a few minutes about that. That we present ourselves to the Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit come into our life. It is then that He is able to call. It is then that He is able to guide into all truth. It is then that He is able to work through His power to provide the world a true witness of Christian living this morning. I want to look at Acts, the 8th chapter. And we find there in verse 12, Acts 8 and 12, it says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They believed and they were baptized. Isn't that commands of God? Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Now, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you know that they were not baptized by the Holy Spirit yet? They were saved. It says they believed and were baptized. But there was something more that when the apostles heard that they were saved, there was something more that they were concerned about, because they knew that the work of the church, The work of God in the life is not complete until the Holy Spirit lives within the heart of a man and a woman. And I remember a time, I remember one that told me, he heard a message about the glory of God. And it was a very powerful message a brother preached right here. And I was over there talking to a brother, and he told me, he said, I'm going for the glory. That glory of God that filled the temple of God is the same one that fills our temple, the same glory of God. And he says, I'm going for that. Well, he began to seek God for that. Now, he had been saved for many years. But do you know that when this brother started asking God, he's told me several times later, because I've been so interested in his experience, he told me that the Lord said, there's no way I can fill your temple. You have too much of yourself on hand, something to that effect. And the Lord began to walk him through, because see, it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. His sacrifice was not acceptable yet. And so he began to consider his life, and the Lord began to work in him, showed him, you got some people down in Louisiana you need to go apologize to. He told me he made that trip, and all the way, it was a rough trip. But I will tell you, on the way back, he said the glory of God was filling his heart all the way home. He said he rode home just with an amazing glory upon his life. And God accepted that sacrifice, did he not? I will tell you, my own life was a little bit similar to that. And when I didn't know anything of that kind of an experience of real, true closeness, the Spirit of God living within. I'd heard of it. I didn't know anything of it. But when I started coming around the saints, I began to see some of it. And I began to want it real bad. And I realized what I needed. And I began to call upon God to fast and to pray and seek Him in my alone hours in the evening. And I will tell you, when the Spirit of God filled my vessel, and I say this very tenderly because I can't boast in that. Oh, I thank God so much. It changed my life. Spiritual things came alive in a way they had never been alive to me before. From that day to this day, it has been completely different in my life. The Lord began to talk to me. His words began to be alive. The Spirit of the Lord began to call and began to use this poor little vessel that knew so little about godly things, though I thought I knew so much. I thought I knew all the things that were right and wrong, and I knew a lot of them, but I knew so little about God. And this morning, I just want to share those few things with us. We have a few minutes left, and I want to to look just a little bit more here. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, and we'll read through 12, Lord willing. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. I want to tell you, I don't want to plant something that's not real in our hearts this morning. But folks, I believe we're reading right out of the Scriptures. I believe we're talking about reality, things of God, where people can live for God without committing sin against Him the rest of our life. That's what this can do, and that's what this will do if we will allow it. And so this morning, we see the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now that's something that is given by the Spirit. It's not that they're smarter than everybody else. The Spirit of God gives out The manifestation of His Spirit not only gives out the fruits of the Spirit, it gives out things that are highly beneficial to God's people, to the church. It gives out things that are highly beneficial to the world. And so it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another divers kinds of tongues. That's speaking of languages. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now you know this morning, this is when life comes into the body of Christ. This, as we allow the Spirit of God to indwell our hearts in this work of grace, beyond just repenting and being baptized. But when we allow the Spirit of God to dwell in our hearts and lives, it makes this possible. Where that the Lord never wanted to give. He doesn't want to give all the glory to one person. He wants the glory, and He wants our lives interweaved and dependent on one another, just like the body works. I think many times of those old chairs that we still have, some of them, those old lawn chairs, and they're interweaved, the things are. And when one comes loose, it makes things where it don't sit well. But do you know that God doesn't want to give everything to one person necessarily? At least I don't see it that way in the Word. I see where it says to one He gives the gift of miracles, to another He gives discernment, to another, and we all have a little of that, but He gives special gifts. He wants us to be intertwined in our faith and our life in the body of Christ. And folks, it only works as each one of us do that. That's how the body works. It's not dependent on one preacher or one minister or one teacher or one anything. It's not dependent. It's dependent on the fact that all of us seek the Lord until He rains fire in our life. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Many places the Spirit of God is a number of places it's referred to as a fire. Don't you know our God is a devouring fire? In different scriptures, because of the work that it does and the way that it operates this morning. And so I just want us to be encouraged that we give our lives to the Lord, that we give Him our vessel and dedicate it to Him and His cause and His life and how He wants us to live, be. And until we take our hands off of it and dedicate it wholly to Him, this cannot happen and will not happen this morning. I believe we had Sister Lottie Joyner's testimony, I remember many years ago. She didn't even understand it all, but she dedicated her vessel to God, and God blessed her with the Spirit of God. It was quite evident, was it not, how God used her life and how He blessed her in so many ways this morning. I want to just make reference in Matthew 12. We'll read that. Matthew, the 12th chapter and the 43rd verse. I believe God wants us to go on and seek His face until we know that we have all that He has for us. This scripture, it kind of can bring a little fear, and I've seen this happen before. Matthew 12 and 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. He finds it empty and swept and garnished. Do you know that this house can be filled? it can be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, when we are saved and when He forgives our sins, Jesus said, He's with you and He shall be in you, as we saw there in Acts, the 8th chapter. But do you know that the Lord wants to fill our house? He doesn't want the enemy to go out of our life and we be saved from all sin, and then He comes back around a little while later and finds us not filled. I want to encourage us this morning, if you want to live for God until the day you die and then go be with Him, then let God fill your vessel. Seek Him until He rains righteousness upon our hearts and upon our lives. I found it to be so in my life. I did not know anything of the reality of that until I became aware. And when I saw what I needed, I will tell you, I wanted it really bad and began to seek God for it. So this morning, the Lord bless each one of us. Oh, the Scripture says, He that dwelleth, this is Psalm 91, we know that, all of us, or many of us know that. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know that when we dwell in that secret place with the Lord, and He dwells in us, and we dwell with the Lord Jesus, and He in us, and all that, you see that in John, the 17th chapter, how He speaks of that. And how the Lord wants to be, He wants to be intertwined. He wants to dwell in our life. He wants to be able to call you and say, I want something over here done. And we'll do it at the peril of our life. That's when a vessel is dedicated to the Lord. And do you know, that's the only way He can call. Because what if He entrusted to us the power of the Spirit of God? And then we were still selfish, and we were still had our own ways in mind. Oh, how the Lord, He wants to come into our lives. He wants to cleanse our hearts. He wants to give us power. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us that the same God that dwelt with these people when they were living for Him. Now, He wasn't in their hearts like He can be in ours. But the same God that thundered upon their enemies, the same God that comforted them when they needed it, the same God that fought their battles, the same God that blessed their crops, that sent prophets to them, He wants to speak into our lives too by His Spirit this morning. And so the things that we see in Psalm 91, I was going to read the whole chapter, but perhaps we're about out of time. I want to say that God, through the Holy Spirit, the gift of His Spirit in our lives, wants to dwell in us. I know the world has many mixed up ideas about what the Holy Spirit is. The Scriptures tell us that He has fruit, that He is a guide, that He will give power. The Scriptures tell us many things about the Spirit of God that He will do in our lives. That the manifestation of it will be that He calls and sets in order His body. That's why we are so careful not to put our hand on the ark. Not to decide, well, I think you need to do this and you need to do that. I'll tell you what I like to see. I like to see the Spirit of God start moving in here. And somebody says, and it's evident the Spirit of God's working. I've seen the Spirit of God work on some of you right here in the building of this building and in those things. We know that He does that too, doesn't He? The manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to profit with all. It's given to profit us, folks. We don't want to look at it as, oh, but I have to dedicate this temple. I have to give myself wholly to God. Yes, you do. You sure do. But the benefit is that the Holy Spirit of God begins to live and reign and work and profit with all this morning. You pray for me.